Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today.
Well, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song. We'll all be flying higher than a jet airliner. And if you want a little bang in your yin-yang, come along.
The Biden administration is trying to do hard things. That's the business of governing. They are on a very big losing streak.
George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, all of them with tears in their eyes for the departure from our democracy that is happening right now.
Today, we must not be complacent or complicit.
Freedom is back in style. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song.
Sean Hannity. The new Sean Hannity Show. More behind-the-scenes information on breaking news and more bold, inspired solutions for America.
This is a special edition of the Sean Hannity Show. America trapped behind enemy lines.
Day number 158.
And day 171 since, in fact, Joe Biden promised that he wouldn't stab our fellow Americans in the back and abandon them as he has. 1 hour from right now, Joe Biden will be holding his second press conference. I think it's the first time in, I don't know, 80, 70, 69, 70, 80 days, whatever the number happens to be. You can almost, we're going to go through a list of questions that the mob, the media won't ask. Because it's all, let me, they told me to go to so-and-so from this news organization first. I can't answer. I get yelled at every time I answer a question. They get mad at me and everything. There's so many questions that won't be answered. For all of us, it'll be frustrating. Some of it will be entertaining. You know, Biden's staff, his entire team right now is, you know, Adam Schiffing in their pants, scared to death of him botching this up, even though he's had, what, five full days of doing nothing, except I'm sure behind the scenes preparation for this thing. The things that we're going to hear are going to be, you know, quite predictable. You know, some things we could start betting on. We could start a betting line. Is he going to yell and scold us and lecture us and call us racist? Or is he going to do the whispering, Joe, get a mask, get vaccinated, get a mask, get vaccinated. You know, you just never know. We can count how many times he's going to blame Trump or the previous administration or lie and say America's back. And I'm told to start with this reporter from this news organization. Oh, and he'll make a big deal. We're sending out free tests, four per household in America, COVID tests. Yeah, but we didn't see Omicron coming. And when Americans needed the tests 2 years into the pandemic, there were no tests available. I mean, beginning our third year. And we're going to give away free masks now, too. Free government masks. Oh, that'll help us a lot. A little late, Joe. He starts with a 33% approval rating. And it looked as, there's, look, my prediction, by the way, is he's going to do fine. In as much as he's going to get softball questions that he's already been prepped to death to answer. And he's going to avoid probably the real questions, which is why we have our own questions that we've put together, You know, and it's frustrating. Is Joe going to brag about Afghanistan? Joe, you said only 171 days ago that you would not abandon Americans in Afghanistan. You abandoned Americans, even military family members. You abandoned, you know, thousands of people with American green cards eligible to live legally in this country. You abandoned our Afghan allies, something we as a country promised we would never do. Why didn't you keep your word, Joe? Joe, we have a 40-year high in inflation. How is that possible? Joe, your energy and economic policies now are costing the average family with a higher cost of energy, gasoline, $1.50 more a gallon just to fill your tank. That's 20, 25, 30 bucks every time you fill up. It's going to be another $1,000 a year for most Americans to heat their homes this winter. And you gave a waiver to Vladimir Putin. And, you know, this is now costing every single item that every American buys at every store. It's causing inflation at a 40-year high. Why don't you go back to the energy policies of Donald Trump? I wonder who's going to ask that question. Joe, how do you describe your policy at the border? The law of the land is that people that don't respect our laws and our sovereignty and our borders are not allowed in the country. Why did you eliminate Donald Trump's catch and release? Why won't you continue building the wall that he started with, what, 500 miles worth? And Joe, why don't you deport illegal immigrants? Why are you giving preferential treatment to illegal immigrants by not COVID testing them? Jen Psaki says it's because they're not going to be here very long. And you're not in, there's no vaccine mandate for illegal immigrants. And then you're transporting them into states all around the country. You've been pushing hard and calling basically Jim Crow 2.0 the election laws in this country. Yet your state of Delaware, which you've represented all those years, decades, they have some of the most restrictive laws in the country. We can't find a single time that you ever lifted a finger to make voting in Delaware more accessible. Why didn't you do anything to help the state of Delaware, Joe? Do you think any of these questions are going to be asked? Joe, why did we run out of COVID tests? What do you mean? What did you mean when you said we didn't see Omicron coming? You know, why have you not? Now that we have breakthrough cases, fully vaccinated people, vaccinated and boosted people, vaccinated, boosted, and with natural immunity people, all getting COVID-19 and testing positive, why haven't you mass-produced monoclonal antibodies? We didn't have a shortage under Trump. And why didn't you produce these antiviral medicines that have been available and that you've known about now for some time? Joe, why do you work so little? Why do you average less than one event per day? Why are you spending 25% of your time fully in Delaware? Now, Jen Psaki says you're comfortable there. You like to be there and that your wife and your son are buried there. Is that the reason? And why are you withholding records of the people that you're meeting in Delaware? Why won't you be more transparent? I mean, just a few questions that, you know, I guarantee you will not come up today. So I know this is going to frustrate some of you, but you might as well know ahead of time because it's supposed to start literally in 47 minutes from right now. And we'll see if it does. Why did you tell people that they're not going to get COVID if they got vaccinated? Do you now admit that your advice, your medical advice, Dr. Biden, was wrong? Do you admit that Dr. Fauci has gotten things wrong from masks to the vaccine preventing the people from contracting COVID-19? You know, just very simple questions for Joe that I don't think he's going to be able to answer. You know, kids just go right on down the line. Why did you say Jim Crow 2.0? You never lifted a finger. Your whole career, you've been against getting rid of the filibuster. Why are you now supporting it? You know, why, for example, you know, I'm just trying to understand where you're coming from, Joe. Why did you say you would unite the country and then basically refer to anybody that disagrees with you on ending the filibuster for your voting rights reformed, compare them to George Wallace and Jefferson Davis. Why would you be against voter ID? You have it in your state. Why doesn't your state have 17 days of in-person early voting like Georgia? Why doesn't your state have any drop boxes? Why in your state do you have to provide a reason to get an absentee ballot, which you don't need in Georgia or Texas? Why do you have the most some of the most restrictive laws? You know, hey, Joe, you said that you said that anyone who's responsible for 220,000 deaths should not remain president of the United States. Will you hold yourself to that same standard? Will you resign? Because we've had more dead people from COVID in 2021 under your watch than 2020 under President Trump. Why have you not warp speeded tests so we have them readily available? You know, it's a little late now for Omicron, but maybe you can predict for the next variant, and so you won't have to tell us that you didn't see it coming. Where's Operation Warp Speed for monoclonal antibodies and antiviral pills? You said that if you get the vaccine, you're not going to get the virus. You turned out to be wrong. Did you give misinformation to the American people? You know, you once called the lack of tests under Donald Trump a travesty. Okay, it's year three. How did you not predict with the holiday season coming and Hanukkah and Christmas and New Year's Eve and people getting together that there would likely be a surge in cases? Why didn't you do that? Will you commit, Joe, to a cognitive health test like Donald Trump did and release the results to the American people? Kamala Harris had a hard time answering the question. If you'd be running in 2024, do you plan on running, and do you plan on having Kamala Harris as your running mate? I mean, there's a lot here. It's a lot of things that you've said that turned out not to be true. You've mentioned many times that you were arrested during the civil rights movement, both here and in South Africa. Will you now admit that what you told people is not true? And I still want my favorite question asked. You know, you partnered with the former Klansman, Robert KKK Byrd, to stop integration of schools because you didn't want public schools, in your words, to become a racial jungle. So do you regret those remarks? You know, how do you call other people racist so freely and suggest they're racist when you have that history yourself? You know, we have more people, like a 20-25 year high of illegal immigrants coming into the country. Why did you let that happen? You know, you're facing every crisis possible. You promised to unify the country. Why do we have a 40-year high with inflation? You know, your vice president and others, why do you support cashless bail, all these Democrats? Why do you support reducing sentencing and charging of criminals? By the way, will you now admit that you've met with people when you said that you didn't know anything about Hunter Biden's foreign business dealings? Will you now admit that what you said to the American people is not true? And there's a lot to chew on here. Now, here's the problem. None of what I just laid out, and I'm only touching the surface here, is ever going to be asked of this president. None of it's going to be asked. And it's going to infuriate many of you, but it is what it is. You know, record number of people entering the country illegally, a record increase in inflation and consumer price index. Your approval rating is at 33%. How is that possible? You know, it's the labor participation rate. Yeah, pretty much unchanged. Number of people not in the labor force wanting to work, you know, is pretty significant. You know, what do we do now that fully vaccinated people with boosters and even natural immunity are still getting COVID and passing COVID on to other people? Does that mean that the unvaccinated should not be shamed? Will you take back your claim that this is mostly a problem for the unvaccinated? Because that's not true. Anyway, 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. We expect this to start in 40 minutes from right now. By the way, for stations along the Sean Hannity Show network, we will carry that press conference in full and have complete analysis afterwards.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hannity is on.
John Hannity is on.
As we roll along, 800-941-SEAN, you want to be a part of the program. Now, there's other things happening today. We probably expect this. Now, by the way, we're now 33 minutes away from Joe's big presser for stations along the Sean Hannity Show network. We are prepared to take it the moment it goes live, even if it's during the top of the hour news. So please be on standby. And so tonight there's going to be a vote in the Senate on abolishing the filibuster. Now, we already know where Joe Manchin stands. We know where Kyrsten Sinema stands. There should be no ambiguity to this, but there's a whole process to all of this. And I got this great breakdown analysis from Chad Pergram, who puts out, he calls it the Hitchhiker's Guide to All Things Washington, D.C. And rather than me reading it to you, I'm just going to put him on at the bottom of the hour so he can explain it to you. In other words, the nuclear option. That's going on today as we speak. We have evidence that Joe Biden, in fact, the Daily Caller came up with these new released documents detailing Biden's rushed withdrawal from Afghanistan that actually contradict what the president was saying and prove that he was lying to the American people when he insisted last August that he was following the advice of his top military people. We now have a Department of Defense was warning the Afghan Air Force would collapse without help from the U.S. months and months before Biden announced the country would withdraw from Afghanistan. It's just the opposite of what he told us. And anyway, the report highlights the fact that they were warned months ahead of time before the collapse of the Afghan Air Force. They were warned that all of this would happen. And anyway, it was written by a special inspector general for Afghanistan reconstruction, was given to the Department of Defense in January of 2021. And it warned that the U.S. had not adequately trained support staff for the country and that the Afghan Air Force wouldn't be able to keep up aircraft without our help. And by the way, now the Biden White House is warning the long threatened Russian invasion of Ukraine is imminent. Told you. What did I say? Three things to watch for this year. This is number one. Putin is not amassing 200,000 troops on the Ukrainian border for no good reason. Number two, after the Olympics, watch what happens with China and Taiwan. And number three, the Iranian mullahs are getting more emboldened by the hour, and Joe doesn't have a plan for any of those crises. Anyway, all right, we're half hour away from Biden's presser. We'll get to that, then we'll get reaction. Big day. Stay with us.
Continuing to build the foundation for conservative victory.
Victory.
Now, back to the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, 25 to the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. So we will carry the president's press conference. We expect all presidents are usually a little late, but we'll carry it in full. As it starts at the beginning of the next hour, and for stations along the Sean Hannity Show network, we will be running it in full without any commercial breaks. Feel free to take any break as you deem necessary. All right. So rather than me explaining what will be unfolding tonight, likely when I'm on the air, 9 p.m. Eastern, we have the Democrats now moving forward, knowing they don't have Sinema or Manchin. But moving forward with a possible nuclear option for the purpose of getting this voting, quote, rights bill, as they call it, through. Our friend Chad Pergram is the guy of all things Washington, D.C., calls it the hitchhiker's guide to what's going to be happening today and tonight. From my understanding, and I talked to two senators today, and both of them confirmed to me there's no way in hell this thing passes.
That's right, Sean. Well, again, here's how this works. You have to have a failed vote to end a filibuster. So Republicans are going to filibuster this. And then what you can do, and these are the nuclear options, as they're called here on Capitol Hill, that we saw in 2013, done by the Democrats and then by the Republicans for the Supreme Court in 2017. You take that failed vote and you say, oh, we want to overrule the chair. We don't agree that this is the policy of the Senate. And if you have a simple majority, 51 votes, you can, in fact, overrule the chair. Now, Democrats, in a perfect world, to do this, because it's 50-50 in the Senate, they would need all of their members on board, including Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, and have Vice President Harris cast the tie-breaking vote. Now, one wrinkle here, the magic number is not 51. The magic number is a simple majority. We are living in the time of COVID. Brian Schatz, a Democratic senator from Hawaii, just last week, couldn't be here. There's no remote voting in the Senate, so the Democrats didn't forge ahead with this over the weekend. If for some reason there are absent senators on the Republican side of the aisle, Democrats could conceivably muscle this through, but we don't think that's going to happen. Again, you'd have to have a lot of senators on the Republican side out for some reason.
My sources in the Republican Party in the Senate said, nope, they're all there. Most of them were together at the time I called.
Yes. So we're not expecting that, but that's just one little wrinkle that we always watch, and I probably wouldn't even talk about it if we weren't in the middle of the pandemic. So basically, this is a vote that is doomed to fail. So what Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader, is starting to do is turn up the heat on the Republicans, saying this is your fault, you're filibustering this, but also starting to turn up the heat on Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. He went after them, not by name on the floor today, but he said there are some in our caucus who believe that this helps bring a few people together. He said, I don't see any evidence of that happening. Bernie Sanders, the independent senator from Vermont, the socialist, he said, I would very much hope that those two Democrats, and he did use their names, Sinema and Manchin, will rethink their position. He called their opposition to breaking the filibuster on this, quote, pathetic. Now,
by the way, then he threatened a primary Manchin and Sinema, and then Manchin responded by daring him to primary him.
Yeah, and obviously you might have a little more of an issue in Arizona with Sinema. Ruben Gallego, who was a Democratic congressman, he was pretty critical of Sinema on the House floor last week, and it's been noted that he might, in fact, try to primary her. Talking about primaries and talking about elections, somebody who came out today who faces a tough reelection is Mark Kelly, the Democrat from Arizona. He indicated today that he would change the filibuster, quote, if campaign finance and voting rights reforms are blocked again this week. So that is a vote by Mark Kelly tonight. He'll be on the record twice that people will look at on both sides of the aisle and in both wings of the Democratic Party.
And by the way, he is in for a very tough general election. Republicans will have a primary. The front runner out there is the Attorney General of Arizona. That's Mark Brnovich. And he's done a phenomenal job. He's very articulate. I think he got more votes than the governor in the last race. If I'm not mistaken, you probably know better than me.
Yeah, I don't know that off the top of my head, but that is going to be one of the top races to watch. I thought it was very interesting in Mark Kelly's statement to try to finesse this, to talk about campaign finance issues. It's just not the voting rights issue for him. It's that. You know, another moderate Democrat who's been converted here is John Tester, a Democrat from Montana, and he said, you know, as far as the filibuster goes, times change and things change, and he's willing to vote on this today. And it will also be interesting to see in the next hour or two what President Biden says about this and whether or not this changes the equation on Capitol Hill.
Well, is he going to compare anybody that disagrees with him to George Wallace and Jefferson Davis again, the Mr. Uniter? And the other question is some of the most restrictive voting laws in the country, as you well know, Chad, are in the state of Delaware. They don't have 17 days of early in-person voting like Georgia. They don't have any drop boxes like they have in Georgia. In Georgia, you don't need to provide an excuse for a mail-in ballot. You do need to provide that in Delaware, and both states require voter ID. He never once moved to make voting more accessible in Delaware.
And you see what's starting to happen here, Sean, is that Democrats are starting to attack one another. There is this chasm between the moderate Democrats and the liberal Democrats. And what you're going to see after today, obviously the president, you know, those remarks in Atlanta last week didn't make any difference. You know, we talk about every baseball team in the country wants a good closer. You know, they look to their bullpen. President Biden, certainly heretofore, has not demonstrated that he's a good closer. He's come to Capitol Hill three times in the past several months and left empty-handed, at least immediately, on the bills that he's been trying to get passed. This was the case last week when he met with the Senate Democrats. He's not a closer. He has not been able yet to close the deal. And that's why there's this incendiary warfare inside the Democratic Party. And you're really going to have the left-wing groups start to amp up and dial up the heat on Manchin and Sinema. And so far, none of those tactics have worked. It didn't work on Build Back Better. And so, you know, does that ever move the meter? That remains to be seen. But so far, that has not worked at all.
All right, we're going to watch very closely. What time do you expect this vote to take place tonight?
Well, Chuck Schumer has noted that there's two votes. You have to have the first failed vote to break the filibuster. He says 6:30. This is like soccer here on Capitol Hill. You know, there's entry and booking time, so I think probably closer to 7 o'clock that vote starts. And then there's some mechanical things they have to go through. I won't get in the weeds on that. But then later tonight, you talked about your show on at 9 o'clock, maybe 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. They have that vote, a failed vote on the nuclear option. That probably happens 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock or so.
All right. So when we have you on TV tonight, then you'll be able to give us hopefully the answer or what the pending answer at that point. We'll know definitively, but according to my sources, there's no way this is going to happen today.
Yeah, we really don't think that that's the case. You're absolutely right. Your sources are good on that. But, you know, I did talk to somebody who knows this process very well, just to confirm that we had all the, you know, I always do my homework here. And if you did have absences, and I'm going to underscore that about three times, but we don't think that's going to happen. I will say this, Sean. Sometimes what you need to do in politics is get issues to ripen. Now, if Democrats think that this is really something they want to do over time, whether it be later this year or next year or in 10 years or something, I mean, you know, you had Jim Clyburn, the Democratic whip, the other day talking about how, you know, it took, you know, there was a more than 50-day filibuster to get the Voting Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 through. That took, you know, several months. And then because there were delays on that, they passed the Voting Rights Bill the next year in 1965. And so this is not particular to voting rights or civil rights, but sometimes it takes issues a while to ripen, whether or not you agree or disagree with the issue. So while this might be dead now, it may not be dead forever.
All right, Chad Pergram, thank you. We'll be following that closely, and we're only 17 minutes away from the scheduled start of Joe Biden's second press conference. We'll be watching that with great interest, and I'm sure he's going to, you know, for those of you who say, what do you mean he's going to do fine? Because he's been doing nothing but practicing for the last 5 days. Hannity, how do you know he's been practicing? Because he always disappears before one big event that they know he's going to have to struggle through. But even still, I guarantee you his staff is Adam Schiffing in their pants right now, scared to death about Joe going out publicly. He's only going to call on friendly reporters for the most part. It'll be interesting to see if Peter Ducey at least gets one shot. He didn't get it the last time in the first press conference. So this issue with Bernie Sanders that Chad was referring to is real. He's now threatening to primary both Manchin and Sinema in 2024, the next time they're up for re-election. And Sanders suggested that he'd support primary challengers. Sanders told reporters that he thinks there's a very good chance that Manchin and Sinema would face those challenges in their states. And he said home state voters would be disappointed that the pair have refused to support changing the Senate rules. I don't think so in either state. Let me tell you what's happened to Joe Manchin since Build Back Broke was stopped by him. His approval ratings went up nearly double digits. And I would argue that the person that is most at risk in terms of being in the Senate in Arizona, especially with Joe's horrific policies on immigration and open borders and voting with Chuck Schumer 99% of the time, is Mark Kelly. And he's got a strong opponent in the Attorney General Brnovich out there. So we'll see. Manchin responded to Bernie Sanders, and he made it clear that his party's push to isolate him and Kristen Sinema is not going to force his hand on a rules change. And, you know, Manchin's a pretty tough guy. He actually seems to welcome the isolation. He told reporters ahead of the Democratic caucus meeting he would not go along with instituting a talking filibuster, which would be used to evade the Senate's 60-vote threshold, nor would he entertain a rules change by a simple majority. And Kristen Sinema used equally strong language. Asked about the party's priorities, Manchin said, "People are most worried about inflation and coronavirus," and he added that he'd welcome a primary challenge over his filibuster position if he runs for re-election. "I've been primaried my entire life. That's nothing new for me. The majority of my colleagues in the Democratic caucus have changed their minds." Okay, I can respect that. They have a right to change their minds. I haven't changed mine. I hope they respect that, too. I've never changed my mind on the filibuster. And remember, it was Chucky Schumer who said, you know, it's going to turn us into a banana republic. One reporter saying, "People say you're making it so that they're not going to be able to vote in the next election." Manchin's answer, "The government will stand behind them and make sure everyone has a right to vote." They're just lying when they say that. "We act like we're going to obstruct people for voting." That's not going to happen. The reason the Democrats are fighting so hard for this is because they see a political advantage of it in it. You know, Democrats now, and you can see, as goes, you know, states like Vermont, New York, California, so goes the rest of the country, or so they hope. New York City just implemented a law that allows illegal immigrants to vote in municipal elections. It's only the beginning. And we have the issues in Vermont and other states talking about it as well. Now, one other thing that's happening is fear is growing among congressional Democrats that Biden is leading this entire party to the slaughterhouse, you know, with their political fates on the line and midterms this year approaching fast. Democrats on Capitol Hill losing confidence in Joe's political acumen, even fake news CNN. This is 3 days now in a row. And I'm sure the fact that they can barely crack 600,000 viewers is the reason in any one given hour. That's even in prime time, for crying out loud. That is, let me tell you, I wouldn't survive in cable news if that was my viewing audience. Anyway, it's not just Biden's approval ratings have tumbled. This is fake news CNN. Those in charge of keeping Democrats in power doubt that Biden's team understands how to improve his political fate. And with it, there's one senior Democratic elected official in Washington complaining, "It's hard for me to believe that the president knows how little his political shop is doing to support Democratic majorities in the Senate and House. All of us believe the president would be shocked to learn how little the White House political team is doing." Senior Democrats, including some White House aides, describe a West Wing lacking both a political strategy and discipline to execute one. Focus groups are giving party operatives nightmares. Biden is coming across as an old, absent, They, as old and absent, they say, real and perceived fumbles play into the deep fears he's not up to the job and Democrats are incompetent. And few Americans can say, you know, what was in the massive bills that he signed, though many have heard the Democrats infighting and what he hasn't signed. Privately, they're petrified. That's all true. Anyway, so we'll see when he starts his press conference. For stations along the Sean Hannity Show network, we'll carry it in full without commercial interruption, and then we'll have full analysis on the other side of it and get to your calls. We have a brand new poll out by John McLaughlin. He'll check in with us along with Matt Towery, the pollster. For stations along the Sean Hannity Show network, we will be taking Joe Biden's press conference in full without interruptions. So make adjustments as needed on your end. We're having like a fun drinking game, although we're not drinking. How many times is Joe going to say, we're giving out free COVID tests and free masks and everything, but they didn't see Omicron coming?
I'm not drinking when that happens. No, I'm drinking when he says, come on, man.
How many people on his staff will actually Adam Schiffing in their pants? Anyway, as he starts this, and is he going to yell or whisper? He's been practicing 5 days, so I don't know what the answer is. How many times will he blame Trump in the previous administration? Will he lie and say, America's back, which will be the biggest lie of all? They told me to start with this person, or I've been told to do this or that. There's a lot of there could be potentially a lot of betting games going on. We should have an entire line on this thing. Anyway, we'll carry it in full. Coming up, Joe Biden speaks out of some fake bunker. Straight ahead. You know, since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, they have been committed to improving the lives of Americans' vets, first responders, and their families. Now, for over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Now, Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children. They build specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured vets and is working to eradicate veteran homelessness. Now, Dave Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. Now, he has never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting our vets, first responders, and their families, and there are so many of them that need our help. Please join the foundation on their mission to do good and never forget. Just commit $11 a month. You can do it by going to their website, the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org.